Dismissed or dismissed to Children's Church. And we're going to continue today in our Live Free series, as today we talk about living free, which looking at the unhindered and marvelous light of the gospel power to all humanity. Now, that was a lot to say. Basically, we're talking about the unhindered gospel, the unhindered gospel. But I do want to say this again, because I do like how I wrote this. We're looking at the living free, which looking at the unhindered and marvelous light of the gospel power for all humanity. There is power in the gospel, and that power in the gospel to live free is for all humanity, all those who choose to believe. And with us today, we'll wrap up our Live Free series. And what a great time, right before heading into Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter service, and looking more detailed to exactly what Christ did on that final week of his life before conquering our sin, conquering death, and raising victoriously. Over the past few weeks, we've seen and we've looked to the final words of Acts, which give us a challenge and encouragement as to how are we to live as followers of Christ. We live free. And because of this living free, we also live unhindered, without hindrance. That's the final word in the book of Acts, unhindered. But it's not just the final word in the book of Acts, this book, this magnificent book of Acts of the disciples, Acts of followers of Christ. It is the first word upon which we have upon our lives as we walk forward in lives devoted to Christ. How do we live unhindered? That's what we've been speaking of for the last 4 weeks today, unhindered. It's the first word for us, for all those who put their hope, their faith, their trust alone in the risen King Jesus. But are we living unhindered lives? Now, we've looked through to things such as the unhindered, living free with the unhindered power of which we've had. Generalization, the power that Christ followers have. We've looked at the unhindered living free with forgiveness, both within our own lives and giving, showing forgiveness to others, even to our enemies. And that's hard, isn't it? Well, today we look to the power of the gospel to live free for all humanity. The unhindered capabilities, the unhindered blessings for all to live free, as Romans 1:16 reminds us, to be unashamed. Unashamed, we must be unashamed, boldly proclaiming the gospel, for remember, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, I'm repeating a lot today, and I'm sorry, but I'm just really excited about today's message. I hope you are as well. If you're taking notes, great. If you're not, why not? No, if you're not, that's good. Some people take it in better without taking notes. I won't have you open your Bibles today. If you want to, you can, but I'm going to have all the scripture on the screen, and we're going to be moving around quite a lot, so most of it will be there. As we begin, I want to just talk about the gospel, and I have a slide up here to illustrate this. We don't always go in such detail, and some of it is simple news, redundant news for you, but I hope this can also be new news or a new challenge for you also. The word gospel comes from the Old Testament, the Old English word, Godspell. Which literally means good news. And in fact, as I saw this, I saw that Godspell, that breakdown of an old English word, I thought about the world and society and how you often hear it said or you've heard it said sometime in your life of a witch. They're going to place a spell upon you. Well, when we think about this breakdown of the word gospel, this is a Godspell. And then when we break it down even more, we think, what is a God spell? It is God news. It's a God story. It's a God message. It's a God tale. It is good news to be cast upon all humanity. That's often what we miss, is that all humanity part. When we break that down, we also see that that word gospel, that old English word God spell, comes from a Greek word, euangelion. I might have said that wrong. Which literally means, again, good message. This is a good message. It's a good message, but so often we keep this message inside when that's not what we're called to do. This message, this word gospel, when we just do a simple Google search to look for the definition, the meaning, look at what I find. It says the very first definition which comes up is the news and teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, even society, even the world defines this message, this word, gospel, as not just meaning nothing, not just news, but the news of Jesus. Now, let's go a step further. You see, the campus ministry crew, which rightfully states, I love this, in their meaning, in their application of the word gospel, the gospel at its core is always a message about Jesus. It's always a message about Jesus. Now, one step further, go a little bit further. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines gospel as meaning the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. Again, how interesting, how powerful it is that even these worldly sources, not looking straight to the biblical definition, but they're applying it rightfully, that the gospel is always at its core a message about Jesus. The gospel is the news and teachings about Jesus Christ. Merriam-Webster, I love how they add this. It's not just a message concerning Christ and the kingdom of God, but they add on there, and salvation. And salvation. You know, I think too often we stop before we get to that final part about salvation. Or at least the world in general, at least. Maybe you can apply it to yourself, think about yourself a little bit. But when you think about the gospel and you're telling somebody about the life of Christ, I believe in this Jesus guy, the Son of God, coming to earth 2,000 years ago, and listen to all these healings, look to all these miracles, listen to all these righteous things he did. We talk about Christ. We talk about the kingdom of God coming near. But so often we forget about that salvation message. Or maybe we share the salvation message, but we fail to ask that final question. Do you believe in Christ as Lord? What's stopping you? Would you like to do it today? My dear friend, Mr. Lee McMiniman, maybe he's watching online from Florida. He'll be back in a few weeks, I believe, though. Praise the Lord. He likes to do this. I love it how he adds a date to that. He says, why not make March 17th be the day you accepted Christ as Lord and fully realize that you will spend eternity in his presence? Why don't you make today March 17th? He likes naming a date, and I think that's powerful. That's good. Let's move forward. The gospel is not just a word without meaning. In fact, it is full of meaning. The gospel, it is the good news that God loves us. He desires a relationship with us, and he desires to save us from our own demise, our sin, the path we're going down. He wants to push us aside and say, no, stop, don't go that way. I've already saved you so that you don't have to go that way. I've already built a bridge so you can get over this giant chasm this way and have a direct route to me, and that's Christ. That's Christ. That's God. God has made a special way for us to be reconciled to him through faith alone, trusting alone in Jesus Christ. And that is the good news. That is the message. That is the God tale, the God spell for us to share with all humanity. You see, the gospel is not just a bunch of information to take in. It's a bunch of information to take in and to act upon. If you're taking notes, you should write that down. The gospel is to act upon. In fact, it's a calling upon one's life. As Mark 1:15 states, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We're not just being told to hear the good news. We're being told to hear the good news and do something about it. Let's repent. That means let's turn away from the way we're living. Turn away from living like the world does. Turn away from thinking, well, you know what? I know this probably isn't right, but it's okay because everybody else does it. No, it means to repent from those worldly things and to live as Christ shows us to live, as how God shows us to live. Our actions, our words, our thoughts even, they mean something to God. And therefore, they should mean something to us too. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. What are we supposed to believe in? We're supposed to believe in God's love sent to us in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. This blemishless, perfect, sinless man died upon the cross to take our punishment, our sin, upon himself and to conquer it, to die to it, but then to be raised again victoriously. That's the Easter message, my friends. And we're getting into it already, so I hope you will know it really well in a few weeks so that you can share it. You can continue to share it through this season, but through all seasons of your life. Remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes, that's all, everyone, all people, that means the gospel's unhindered power for free life is available to all those who believe. It says, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel is the foundational truth. It's foundational to our Christian faith. And it's central to the teaching of the Bible. We cannot separate this gospel message from our faith, from the Bible. It's one. It's whole. There is no wholeness without Christ and without the message of his goodness. The God spell, the God tale, the God message, however you want to put it, don't leave Christ out. Because again, the gospel at its core is a message about Jesus. And let me tell you this. The unhindered gospel power for all is to live free. Our God tale about the love in Jesus, it is a marvelous power. It's marvelous news, and there is a marvelous light shining through the darkness, through us all, to the darkness of humanity today. That marvelous light is Jesus. At some point, you may have heard in your life somebody refer to the light of the gospel or the light of Christ or the light within us, the light shining forth in the darkness, the gospel light. Well, the good news about the gospel is it's often referred to as a great light because it leads mankind out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. Let me tell you, that marvelous light is within all you who are following Christ as Lord. You have a marvelous light within you to share, to shine forth. And I think there's two directions we need to recognize. This isn't in my notes. But one, that marvelous light inside, you need to allow it to lighten your path as you walk. Don't continue to walk in darkness. Don't continue to walk in the ways that God says are not right. But then also help allow the light of Christ to shine forth from your path to the path of others. As all throughout your life, you should be bringing others along the path of righteousness with you. Don't live alone in this life. Live with the body of Christ. The good news, the gospel, is often referred to as light because it leads mankind out of darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ. And as followers of Christ, we're to spread this gospel light to all nations by allowing it through us and to others. Through us to others. Maybe that's something for you to memorize or think about this week. Through us to others. How are you doing at that? How are you doing at allowing the gospel light of Christ, the light of Christ, to come through you and to others? This brings us to point number one today. The gospel light is a marvelous light to all nations. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, I've got this on the screen for you. It says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. That's great news. That's good news. We're going to talk about it in a moment. But it's too small of thing, he says. He says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You see, in this passage, God is speaking to his servant in what is believed to be a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And this shows a very important aspect to the Messiah's mission. It shows us that as he came, he would be coming to restore his people. He would be coming to restore Israel, to bring Israel back to the Lord. But also note the phrase, a light for the Gentiles. It means that this salvation that God offers is not just for Israel. It's not just for the Jews. It is for all people now through the name of Christ, through all those who choose to believe in him. That's all of us. any ethnicity, any background, any age, any sex, any culture, any person can accept Christ as Lord, believe, and find the power of the gospel to live free. Again, there's power in the gospel to live free. What we see here is that the Messiah would not simply bring salvation, he would bring restoration. And he wouldn't just bring restoration to Israel, but he would bring salvation to the Gentiles, the world, to all. 1 Peter 2:9 powerfully supports this in our call, our encouragement for Christians. It says this, I love this scripture. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful, marvelous light. Depending on translation you have there. Wonderful or marvelous light. How are we to declare this light, though? That's what it says. It's not just action. It's not just knowledge. The gospel has power that leads to action. The gospel has power that leads to action. And even in this, we see we are a chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You are special to God. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful, marvelous light. You see, as Christians, we are called to be a light to all nations. And how do we do this? By sharing the message of the gospel with others, yes. By living lives that reflect the love and character of Christ, yes. By doing good works that demonstrate the love of God to those around us, yes. Be careful that people don't think that that's how you saved, but they should still see you doing that. Our lives have been changed radically, and people should see that light shining forth from us to light their own path also. This means we're called to reach out to people, again, of all nations, all cultures, all backgrounds, with the message of the gospel, seeking to bring a light and hope into their lives. We are called to be a living testimony, an example to them of Jesus Christ and what he's given to us. May the marvelous light that we have of Christ shine forth from your life into the life of somebody each and every single day. Remember that Acts 28:30-31, this has been our theme verse for this whole series of living free, unhindered, powerful lives. And it says this, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. We are to share the gospel without hindrance, with all boldness, but as much as we can use Paul as an example, as a motivator, believe it or not, we can go a step further. Because here in this scripture, Paul is in his own rented house, imprisoned, and yet he's still doing this. How much more can we do it yet here in the now while we're not imprisoned? We're free. We're even more without hindrance, unhindered, to share this God message of love. Jesus Christ. We live free. And let me tell you this, if you take nothing else, I hope you take this. Living freed by Christ means sharing your freeing news, the unhindered gospel, with all. Living freed by Christ means sharing this freeing news, the unhindered gospel, with all. You cannot live free without also wanting to share the freedom news that you have. If you don't want to, if you're not doing it, then I really encourage you, challenge your faith, think about your faith, and think, do you have a deep enough appreciation for what Christ has done for you? Let's talk about point number two, a little bit further going into this all. Who is the all? Who is every nation? Who is taking the gospel power to live free to all nations? All means every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue. And I love this scripture. We're going to look at Revelation 7:9. I love this scripture here. And admittedly, Revelation is a hard book to understand at points. Some of us avoid ever reading it or studying it because of that, but I also encourage you to see that we're also told in Revelation that those who study this book will be blessed. And scholars have been picking apart this book for centuries, and I think they would truly feel blessed. I think right now of Dwayne Fossenbach, there's leading our teens in a study of Revelation, and I think that he feels blessed. Tim Jacobson, he's leading a study in Revelation with the guys at Main Street Cafe, and I think Tim feels blessed. It is a great book to read, to study. But let's look at this. This scripture talks about the great diversity in heaven in of which God's word, the gospel, the power of the gospel brings us into. Revelation 7:9 reads this way. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from every tribe, every people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, worshiping the King. I added that last part, but we know that's what they're doing. They're worshiping the King. It also sounds very familiar to us to what we see happen at Palm Sunday, to which we'll be speaking of shortly. But I look about this, at this, I think about an amazing picture of heaven, an amazing picture of which we have someday to be in. And some of our loved ones are there now. And look at this, they are not alone. In fact, far beyond this, they are with a great multitude that no one can even count. There's so many people. And they are so joyful and happy that they're standing before the throne, before the Lamb. And as they stand there, wearing their white robes, indicating like that white snow, that the sins being removed, this new state that they're living in, they're holding palm branches in their hands, worshiping the King, worshiping Jesus. Here's what I want you to see here. I want you to see not just the number, the countless number that no one could count, but I want you to notice the great diversity in this. A great number no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, tongue. Think about that amazing picture, yet think of our lives today. Is your life filled with such diversity? Is our city filled with such diversity? Does our community and our faith community look like the picture John describes here? And admittedly, I know it's hard to say we do in the city we live in. We're not in a city with a great diverse culture, not like maybe even just 2 hours away in Minneapolis, St. Paul would be, but we do still have a great diverse area here with many different cultural backgrounds, ages, sexes, many different people, popularity classes, social classes, financial classes. We have a great diverse culture to be sharing the gospel with. And I pray, as I think about this picture, that we can help contribute to this image that we see in heaven. Heaven will be filled with people of different cultures, sexes, ages, financial status, popularity groups. And let me tell you, these cliques, these groups that we may be looking differently in the world at so often, they mean nothing up there. They mean nothing up there. So I ask us all, I challenge us all, to also be not putting so much attention on that today. May we see all people as children of God in need of the gospel message. Don't allow the diverse cultures around us, the diverse images around us, to be a hindrance to sharing the gospel. Because I beg you to see, everywhere you go, there's somebody that needs to hear the great unhindered power in the gospel to live free. Heaven will be a wonderful place, my friends, where we'll be able to look past any differences, past any type of issues, past any type of past sins in people's lives. Maybe they've committed against the world, a family member, a friend, or yourself, because all those sins will be wiped away, washed away, and all we'll see is the blemishless, perfect love of God seen in Christ Jesus as Lord. What a great day to look forward to. You see, we need to remember, though, Jesus wants as many people as possible to get there. In fact, that's why we're in this time of grace. We're in a time of grace by God to where he's allowing more time to pass for more people to come to him. Remember, the gospel power is unhindered power for all who believe, Romans 1:16. But just don't remember that it's unhindered power for those who believe. Remember that you have a place in this, and that's point three. We have the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a mission for all those freed through Christ to go. To go. It's not just a mission to hear about. It's a mission for all those freed through Christ to go forward with this mission and act upon it. If you're not familiar with it, this Great Commission is found in Matthew 28:18-20. It says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There's such great challenge, truth, encouragement here. I want to start with the end, and then we'll work towards the beginning. First, the end. Remember, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You are not alone. Next, we have working towards the beginning here, in the middle there. It says to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. God did not leave us without a message of how to live. We know how we're to live. We just don't always obey that. We don't always listen. We turn a blind eye, a blind ear, and we think, "Well, I just don't know." Well, open up the Word of God and find out, because he tells us. Do you struggle with understanding? Do you struggle with falling asleep when you read the Word? Well, first of all, let's pray for God's help. But secondly, let's combine together our forces. Meet with a brother or sister in Christ. Meet with a pastor. Meet with a friend and read the Word together. Allow someone else in. I was just reminded today about the power we have when we come together as a church, as a body of believers. One twine may be broken easily, but when you twist several together, it's stronger. Now in the beginning, we see that command though, that mission, that commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's important to see though, in all this instruction, it's not a singular command. It's not a singular destination of travel for one arrival. But rather, as one said, it's a way of living out all your days on earth. It's not a one and done or a box to simply check off your to-do list to think, "I did my part." It's a way that we live every day of our lives, and we are blessed by doing it. Because every time we talk about the gospel, we remind ourselves of the power of the gospel. And maybe that's part of our problem today. We don't appreciate the gospel of Christ enough because we don't talk about it enough. We don't share it enough. One author once stated, "Wherever you're going," and I don't know who this is from, I just found it, I liked it. "Wherever you're going, whenever you're going, and for whatever reason you're going, your assignment is always the same. As you're going, make disciples." Put that upon your heart today, this week, every day. As you're going, make disciples. Whether you're in prison, politics, whether you're white collar, blue collar, or any other collar, whether you're rich or poor, lonely or popular, whether you're a business owner, an employee, or jobless, whether you're a student, a teacher, a mother, father, a pastor, a doctor, a nurse, a computer programmer, an office manager, a secretary, whether you're a retired individual, whether you work at Napa Auto Parts, I'm trying to think of all you guys out here. Wherever you find yourself going, go, and as you go, make disciples, share the gospel. And remember, that gospel message isn't just a message, it's a good message, and it's a good message about Jesus. Don't withhold this message from anyone for any reason. We are to live with eternity in our minds, the gospel on our lips, and a marvelous light, the light of Christ, shining through us and to all. the marvelous light 1 Peter 2:9 speaks of is not to be hidden under a basket, under a pot, anything else. It's to shine forth through you to all. Let's work to conclude. This series is or was a practical, I hope you see this. It isn't a deep series. It's not deep into theological doctrines, debatable issues. I hope you see this. It is a practical, applicable challenge or encouragement, depending on where you're at in this, for us all to live free, unhindered, without hindrance lives with the gospel power that we see. What does it mean to live with God's kingdom and eternity in mind with this living free attitude of being without hindrance, unhindered? Well, we've looked to some of this, but you can continue to think about it. We've looked to forgiveness. Part of living free and unhindered means we need to forgive and we need to share the forgiveness of Christ. We need to share. We need to love as Christ loved. And we need to live kingdom-minded righteously. What do you think it looks like then to live with the gospel on your lips? Well, I'm going to tell you, and we'll talk briefly, but I'm going to tell you, I want you to converse about this today. Talk about it. At your lunch tables, as you're in the car, as you're out and about at the mall or shopping, or wherever you go, talk about it with each other. What does it mean to share the gospel? And I'm talking about practically, applicably, how are we going to do this? Don't allow the reason you don't do it just be because you never thought to or you never planned to. But at the same time, don't think you have to plan to do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you and the light to be seen anytime and at all times, because at all times, there's somebody that needs to see it. Even when you're alone, that somebody might be you that needs to see the light all over again and recognize the darkness that maybe you're starting to walk towards. Sharing the gospel with others can be intimidating. It can be scary. It can cause great anxieties within our life. I know that. I fear, you fear. We all fear at times having the correct words to say, or what if they don't like it? What if they yell at me? What if they cuss me out? What if they turn their backs to me? Or what if they spit in my face? Well, first of all, I want to tell you, you're not alone. You won't be the first person. But secondly, I want to say that either way, we need to pray and trust God to lead you through it. Remember, He does not leave you alone. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit living within you to give you equipping, which you could never receive on your own. Remember, you are unhindered, without hindrance. You have great power to live free through Christ. Don't overcomplicate the gospel. That's another thing. We overcomplicate it as we think about all the things we want to say or we should say, or, well, my pastor told me I need to remember this or that or this. How about you just start talking about God's love? Here are some other specific things to get the ball rolling, some questions. Well, first of all, let me again rephrase that or say that again. You want to share the gospel? Just walk up to somebody, a stranger, a family, a friend, a neighbor, whoever that may be, and just start with saying, can I tell you about God's love? Do you know about God's love? Have you accepted God's love? Maybe you're asked, what do you think about Jesus? Maybe you say, do you attend a church anywhere? Maybe you say, hey, with everything happening in the world today, I have to ask you, do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you think you're going there? Why? To get people thinking, and I think what you'll find, people like to talk. Maybe do a little bit of listening, but always come back to remembering at the core of the gospel message is Jesus Christ. Be sure to share that message with them. Jesus asks questions. Let's start with doing just that. Ask people questions. So as we wrap up today, I want to leave you some more scripture. Romans 1:16 again says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. I hope you see that you, living free, freed through Christ, have power, gospel power, the power of Jesus Christ living within you. You're a new creation and you need not continue to be controlled by the old things. Live free in Him and share the freedom you have with others. Talk about your faith. talk about it confidently and without hindrance, because it's something great. Converse about how you do this with each other. The unhindered gospel, living free, is a message of power and salvation for all who will believe. Remember that. It is power, but also remember, it's about love. It's about love. It's not about works. Now, there know us by our works. There should be evidence of our faith, but it starts with the love of Christ. Go there first. Don't you want to be sharing this great news in a world which has so much bad news? The kingdom of God has come. Forgiveness is available. And the Holy Spirit will give you power to share it. Share the love of God. And finally, three scripture points here, and I'll close. John 8:36, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. Remind yourself that. You are free through Christ. Is there something controlling you today? Grief, anxieties, confidence, emotions, people and their opinions, a reputation that you feel like you must live up to. Be humbled. Be reminded you are freed through Christ, and only He need control you. Live for Him and His love. 1 Peter 2:9, another great one to speak into your own life. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful, marvelous light. You're special to God. I haven't made you speak today yet, so let me have you say that. Why don't you point around to somebody and just say, you are special. I like hearing that. I like hearing the laughs, seeing the smiles. But you know, it's crazy that we have to laugh at that. We're not used to hearing people look at us and encouraging us with such things. Miss Bobby, I think that was a holy kiss you were going for back there.
Keep it to Mr. Bobby.
I should say that was with her daughter, not anything weird. You are special to God. Declare the praises of God to others. And finally, let us run the race together without hindrance, without fear, without reservation, for we have a marvelous light living in us and to live through us and to help show us how to live freely and share our freedom with others. Remember that motivator from Paul's life, that motivation of Acts 28:30-31, where Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. We can and should be doing the same. There's no walls holding us in this place, my friends. Go forth. Go. Wherever you're going, make disciples. Thank you. I'm going to pray. We'll close in song. And I do just want to remind you one final time, we do have a business meeting today. Please stick around. It's the annual business meeting for budget proposals and other important things for you to hear and vote upon. We'll be voting upon missions team members, deacons. We'll be voting upon sabbatical usage for me this summer. We'll be voting upon a lawnmower for the church. So please stick around and let me pray now. Lord God, we thank you for the freedom we have through Christ. We thank you for your love and that you've given this to us freely. All those who choose to believe can have this power, this gospel power of Jesus Christ living within us to turn from the old ways and be new creations saved by your grace. Thank you for your love, Jesus. May we live with this light, this marvelous light shining to us, through us, lighting the path for us, but also lighting the path for others to see the marvelous light of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Let's worship together.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that aimed his heart, adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
So here I am.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to.
As we close this morning, I just want to ask you, do you know the gospel to be true in your life? Have you made the gospel to be something else, something different? Have you put all these restrictions, all these requirements about it, and forgot about what Jesus is to the gospel and to you? Have you accepted Christ as Lord? Have you ever said, Lord, please forgive me my sins, and Lord, take my life, let it be to you. I trust in you for my salvation, and I want to live according to this. If you have not done that, or maybe you're thinking, I need to give my life back to God, I need help, come to me, talk to me now. I'd love to talk with you, I'd love to pray with you, but don't let me be a hindrance to you either. Maybe I'm busy, maybe you feel ashamed, or maybe you feel you're a struggle to come up here to me. Well then, I want to tell you, there's people all around this room that love Jesus and want to talk to you about him, or want to talk to you about your faith, want to talk to you about your walk. Don't go out of this room without making that choice to give your life to Christ, whether it be again or for the first time. May you give your life to Christ forever and always. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray about that now. Lord God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that, Lord, despite our sin, you show us this great love, and this love is available to all who trust in him and him alone and choose to believe. Lord, I pray even now for those who may have this on their mind. I pray for them to make today, Sunday, March 17th, 2024, the day that will live forever in your mind and on your books, the book of life, that they would choose to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And help me to live in you, trusting in you for all eternity. Lord, save me. I confess Jesus is Lord. Let's not overcomplicate the gospel. Lord, thank you for your love. Help remind us of this every day and to shine this marvelous light into our life and the life of others. Amen. I'm up here for anybody who wants to talk. I'm here.